coming to you from the outskirts of the greatest territory in wrestling history, Memphis, Tennessee. It's Wrestling Talk with Mayor McCall, and I'm your host, Mayor McCall. I'm the founder, promoter, and CEO of this Wrestling Talk. I'm the Mark of Marks, the Wrangler of Ring Rats, and the unofficial president of the Brian Christopher Fan Club. Unfortunately, Willie B is sick today, but the mayor's birthday bash must go on. I knew I needed a very, very special guest for this, so I reached out to the coolest cat in the land. That boy from New York City by way of Mempho. He was raised by a gypsy. Ladies and gentlemen, WWE Hall of Famer, the Boogie Woogie Man, handsome Jimmy Valiant.
Woo, mercy, brother man. Happy birthday, brother. God bless you. Hey, Mayor, brother man. Hey, I'm first of all, man, I'm a big fan of yours, man. Hey, I listen to Wrestling Talk, brother. I listen to it every chance I get, and I got so much feedback, man, from your show, brother. And I'll tell you, people are buzzing, man. You got the hottest thing going, brother, in the nation, Jack. Hey, and you, I'm sorry about Willie B's health right there, but I'm sorry he's not here today because, we're going to rock and roll, and we're going to boogie-woogie, baby. Hey, happy birthday. 42, I understand. Is that right?
Thank you so much, handsome Jimmy. Yes, sir, I'm 42. We'll be rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling. Have mercy. We got the boogie-woogie man, baby.
Woo! Yes, sir, brother, man. Hey, you know, I tell you something, man. You know, Mempho, brother, yeah. Handsome, this is Jimbo from Mempho. Handsome Jimmy, baby. You know, coming live in person right here, man. You know, with my special mayor. I tell you something, Mayor McCall, that you got my vote, baby. Hey, you can run for mayor, man. You know, I know King Fitz, Jerry Lawler. You know, I know he ran a couple times, you know. But, hey, I know you can do it, brother, man. And, hey, God bless the fish, man. I got him in my prayers, man. You know he's doing good. I know I hear he's getting back out doing stuff, man, and that. And, hey, you know, that's my brother, man, for so many, 40, 50 years. I don't know, brother. But, hey, we tore Mempho up, brother, and, hey, we're continuing. Hey, I tell you something, man, you know, next time he gets back on his feet, then, hey, Boogie Woogie, you know, I'm 80 years old, baby, and 60 of them years I've been wrestling pro, you know. So, between me and Lala has to be wrestling 50 years. You know, we got over 100 years, you know, if we ever get back in that ring together, and it'll happen.
Man, y'all have had some feuds, y'all have teamed up, and y'all have rode some miles down the highway together, brother. I know y'all have.
Oh, you bet, brother, man. You know, that was the best time of my life. I tell you, I had a boy, Handsome Jimmy. In fact, on his birth certificate, it's actually Handsome Jimmy, you know. And, hey, you know, my boy was born right there in 1980, and that's when the Fishman broke his leg, you know, and I came in, and I was the king of Mempho. You know, for that year while he's recovering, and because you know, Handsome Jimmy, you know, he can't stay in one place too long, you know, and I had to leave, and of course he is the king, brother, and God bless him. But I handled there with Jared, you know, for that year, and hey, man, it was just such a great experience. My boy was born there then, and hey, in fact, he just turned 43, and because it was this month of the 14th, and so it was 43 years ago when that happened, baby. So yeah, man. Oh, hey, Fishman, he's been wrestling longer than 50 years, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that Memphis Jazz shortly or whatever, and that's a good point.
Baby.
1980, Lawler was on the shelf, and you were called to babyface duty, but we'll get to that shortly, Jimbo. Of course,
sir.
You know, we got a limited amount of time. We could do this for days. We could make this into a mayor's festival. But, you know, you and I, we're limited on time, baby, because we're both important cats out here. So we're going to jump around and we'll go to it. Let's start with May 8th, 1974. You and Johnny Valiant, a.k.a. John Sullivan, capture the WWF tag team titles. And a lot of people don't know, but you and Johnny Luscious were the very first ever tag team to be inducted in the Hall of Fame in 1996. Tell us about that, Daddy.
You bet, brother, man. Yeah, Mayor, you know, Mayor McCall, in fact, next year it'll be 50 years for that. And you know, good friend of mine, man, they're bringing me in, you know, and they're bringing me in there for that. Well, it actually happened was the Field House, you know, in Hamburg, and you know, it's going to happen. It's going to be a big, there's so many people that has worked at, you know, I'm talking about Bruno Sammartino and oh my goodness, Gorilla Monsoon and, you know, Strongbow and Putski and you know, there's so many people that, of course, work the TV there, you know, as I have for Vince McMahon Sr. And a lot of them, God bless, they passed on. Mayor, they're up in the big ring in the sky. This September the 16th, I'm going to be there at the Field House in Pennsylvania, in Hamburg, you know, we're just going to get it all together, you know, Ben Carson, you know, a good friend of mine, and I know yours, and he's bringing me in, brother, for this special thing, and he said, Boogie and Handsome, and they call me Handsome, God's Handsome Jimmy at that time, you know, before Boogie Woogie, we talk about that in a minute, too, but the switchover, you know, where I reinvented myself, but he's bringing me in, Mr. Bud Carson, God bless him, man, he's a Marine, he's a brother, man, and he wrestled, and he did it all promoting. He did it. I had his own, wrestling store and Hall of Fame museum thing, and it was just great, you know. So I appreciate that, and I'm going to see the people one more time in there because there's not that many boys that actually worked in there, you know, that's left. God bless the boys, and hey, man. They're leaving a dusty road, and oh my goodness, man, my brothers and, you know, Piper, oh my, I could just go on. Ivan Koloff, and it's just going on and on, and it just breaks my heart, man.
Man, it's so awesome to hear you say that, brother, or whatever, because that's one of the reasons that we started this podcast, you know, especially was to keep the Memphis memories alive along with the Memphis stars and legends. We don't ever want this territory to be forgotten, not that it ever would, but, you know, that's one of the goals of this podcast, to talk about the people aren't here anymore and keep the stars of yesterday alive, Daddy, so have mercy on that.
You bet, you know, this YouTube stuff, and just Google Jimmy Valiant, man, and a thousand things will come up, brother, man, or you know, Kingfish Jerry Lawler, you know, the King, man, or anybody, any the old timers and stuff will come up, and the young kids, they will see, it's just like at my wrestling camp, you know, that we have here in Charlottesville, Virginia, you know, Boogie's Wrestling Camp, Mayor, that we teach the old school, you know, and we teach the new school, of course, you know, what the kids see today, and we teach that, of course, but if we didn't teach the old school along with that here at my camp, you know, then, it's like if I give you a recipe or something passed down from my mother, and her mother passed it to her, and we keep on passing this on down to family and friends, you know, if you don't continue that recipe, that recipe will disappear. Well, same with pro wrestling, you know, I started in 1964, y'all, you know, and I was born 1942, I just 21 years old when I got in this thing, man, and the thing is, if you don't continue with that, because we did a lot more wrestling, we told the story, we had to do so many more things, our angles, everything was different, you know, interview time, everything was different. But whatever's happening today, you know, you got to continue, you know, with that. This is what the people see, and this is the young kid, that's all they know, if they wouldn't go back and see what we did, you know, So we continue that here at the camp, and we're going on our 33rd year, you know, here, brother, and it's just a blessing, you know. All I want to do, brother, is teach these kids, man, and be a goodwill ambassador like you, Mayor McCall. I tell you, you're a goodwill ambassador for this great profession that we're in, and you're my brother, man, and I appreciate all the hard work you do, and anybody that is in our business, man, I take my hat off. You know, I honor the course, and I want to give praise, and I want to give respect to everyone in our business, you know, especially, you know, when I started out, you know, my mentor was Dick the Bruiser and Vern Gagne, and they helped me, you know, they took me under their wing, and the Volkovs, and I'm not talking about the Nikolai
You're talking about Boris Volkov.
Yeah, I'm talking about Boris and Nikolai, but Boris was the one that trained him, you know, broke me in. But that Nikolai there, they were hot in the 40s and 50s, you know. But then there's another Nikolai, of course, and he was a big star, man, you know, with WWF. I was right with him so many years and been in Japan with him, been everywhere with him. And he teamed up with the Sheik, the Iron Sheik, not the original Sheik. I was with the original Sheik and the Iron Sheik, and I was with both of the Volkov. But and he passed on. Now, he was there, you know, in the field house doing, all the TVs and everything that we were at. But we all worked for WWF, and this was Vince McMahon Sr., you know. And first time I came in there, the mayor, the Vince wasn't even there, Junior. You know, he was still in school or whatever. But then when Johnny and I came back, and the first time in, they put me with the Grand Wizard, you know, Ernie Roth, God bless him. And then the second time, he stole my contract, and then he picked up Johnny's and Luscious Johnny and the Valiant Brothers in 74. And then that's when that happened, you were talking about earlier. And that was, almost 50 years ago when that happened. And that was with Captain Lou, you know. And I was so fortunate, man, to have the best managers, brother, that come up with, you know, first Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan, which turned out to be the brain, Bobby Heenan.
Absolutely.
But, you know, oh, my goodness. And then, you know, of course, Ernie Rod, the Grand Wizard, and then Captain Lou Albano, and oh, my goodness, Lord Alfred Hayes, Jimmy the Snake Hart. Hey, you name the managers. I was so fortunate to have them work with them, and of course, you know, they taught me, you know, whoever came before me, they taught, and it's just a shame that now I give respect, of course, to them, you know, but now I look around and there's not too many left that came before me, you know, because next year will be 60 years in this business, and God bless them, and I'm still out there active, man. I was in the ring 3 weeks ago, you know. I don't do much. People just want to see me come out, dance a little. Hey, I kiss them, goose them, ride them, man. I just do a little something. I tag the young kid with me, and he'll do all the bumps and flying and selling and doing stuff. You know, I did all that, man. They just want to see me, the boogie-woogie a little bit. So I'll continue doing it as long as God lets me, man. I'm not looking for shots. I'd rather just go and sign and do, be their commissioner, whatever it is for the night. Like our commissioner, you know, God bless, you know, Benny Scala, you know, our BWC commissioner. I know he's good friends with you, he talks about you all the time, Mayor, you know. And of course, he's got the hot show too, the Dan and Benny in the ring, you know. But he's coming up with the belt, the BWC, the heavyweight belt, and he's going to present it to our BWC champion, Big Mike Marks, you know, and he's coming up soon, and the belt's ready. He just had it made, brother, man, the commissioner. Thank you, Benny. I know you're listening, brother, man, and we love you at BWC. You're the best commissioner. I tell you, our only commissioner. He'll be commissioner for life for here, man. He does so much for us, and just love him, appreciate him. And another one, our webmaster, Mayor McCall, you know, is Brian Powell, man. You know, he's our webmaster, and hey, just check out our website, guys. It's just Jimmy Valiant, all one word, Jimmy Valiant, JimmyValiant, one word, and then Weebly is Weebly, Weebly, and then .com. There's two dots in it. Jimmy Valiant dot Weebly, 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 .com. Yeah, and if you want to get right to me, brother, just say Jimmy Valiant, one word, at outlook.com. Jimmy Valiant at outlook.com. And hey, you know, anything? I'm old school, Mayor. I don't. I don't, this phone here, brother, this is a landline, baby. I ain't got no cell phone, man. This is the craziest thing, man. This thing don't have call waiting. It don't have, I don't have an answering machine. I don't have, something buzzes or something, you know, or the number, ID number, something's come up. And this is just a telephone, brother. When it rings, I pick it up. Hey, man. Hey, brother, I talk, you know. Hey, and if I don't want to talk, hey, I want to take a nap. I want to do something. Hey, I unplug it, brother. You know, I unplug it and I plug it back in when I get up. And, hey, you call, I answer it, brother. You know, it's not, no, I ain't going to answer that. I don't want to talk to that cat. I want to talk to everybody, baby.
Man, I so appreciate it or whatever. You know, that old saying, if it's a rocking, don't come a knocking. So if Handsome Jimbo from Info is talking to the mayor, don't come a calling because you won't be answered. I want to piggyback on what you said about, you know, those great guys, whatever, the BWC commissioner, Benny Scala, great, great, great guy. He's done some awesome pieces on you. He sent me a story that he wrote you. I was like, damn, Benny, you made my homework, you know, so much easier. Not that I don't know the Boogie Woogie Man, but hell, you know, he helped me out on that. And I believe Brian Powell's the one that hooked us up and put us together.
Yo, that's great. Yes, sir, man. Thank you. And work with Brian, man. And I know you work with Benny, and Brian is such a great guy, man. You know, and he's a Christian, and he works at Liberty University up here in Glensburg. And he's just, an hour, 15 minutes from door to door from BWC to Lynchburg. And he's involved with BWC, you know, so strong, and been with me forever, brother. And same with Benny, man. You know, you can't do without people like this, just like you can't do, you know, without your co-host. You depend on each other. It's just like, your wrestling partner, we're family, or, you know, it's just something that you just is part of you. You know, me and Johnny, we were together for 5 productive years. Luscious Johnny and Handsome Jimmy, the Valiant Brothers, man. I was with Johnny, brother, more than I was with my family and my real family. God bless my blood family, my daughters, and this is just how our business is, you know. And the kids out there, like today, if you put on a pair of boots, brother, man, and if you can get up and I'll pick you up and I'll slam you down, you take that, brother. You got to take that bump, baby. Hey, and I respect that. And this ain't the easiest thing to do in life, brother. You know, it's your choice, and it's rough, you know. And I'm just at a point, you know, of course, I couldn't do it. My body can't take it now. And they respect that, and I just... I just show dog it, man, and let them do all the flying and dying and high flying and head scissors and arm drags and back drops, you know. Hey, I've done all that, you know, and now it's their turn. And they want to do it, and I wanted to do it, you know, for years. But you get to a point that this is the only professional sport, Mayor, you know, that you could continue, you know, doing, you know. They, Dick the Bruiser, my mentor, God bless him, he died at 63, very early, but he's the toughest man I know, but he died what he was doing. He was at his condo in Florida, and he was working out that morning, and he had some kind of aneurysm or whatever, God bless him, and that took his life. But you know, it pleases me. I smile when I think of that man, because he died doing what he wanted to be doing, you know, still wrestling, still working out, you know, still doing what he can. Hey, I work out every morning, brother, man. You're 80 years old. I know I can't do full range moves, and I don't do heavy. I just go through the motion. All it is for your mind, brother, your mind, you know. And I just continue going, and I got stuff wrong with me like any other 80-year-old man, you know. And I should have worse, you know, the life that I've lived, brother, and went through, you know, but I got it all, brother. I got all the old age stuff going on with me, but you just got to get up in the morning, keep kicking, man, just keep going, and it keeps me young, you know, being around all my kids at camp, you know, and being around, and my lovely wife, Angel, Ms. Angel, man, we've been together now, we're married 32 years, and we've never had an argument, Mayor McCall. I tell people that, come on, Boogie, come on, brother, come on, handsome man, what are you talking? I said, no, we haven't, we don't have time, baby. Hey, you know, you just got to, yeah, man, give each other space, and hey, we're together 24 hours now. I just go out on Saturday. I do something every Saturday. Sunday's every camp, of course, and I'm just busy on the weekends. But during the week, hey, I farm. I call it farming. You know, I mow and I keep the grounds good. Yeah, our compound. We got a 2-acre compound here. I want to invite everybody out real fast, Mayor. You know, hey, that's listening, and of course, a personal invitation to you. You know, hey, come any Sunday, 12 to 4. Be my guest. You got full access of BWC. You go in all the buildings. We got Hall of Fame Museum. Watch the kids train. Be part of Wrestling Live at BWC. Check out YouTube and just put the Wrestling Live from BWC. And we just got this going, and it's cooking, man. And it's getting better and better. And my kids are doing all this, man, on their own. This is what I wanted. I don't have nothing to do with it. I stay until they start taping, and I leave. And my head instructor, Big Mike Mars, he takes care of the ring part. And then, of course, Yellow Man and Big H, they are our producers, and they take care of all that. And I got my floor manager, Captain Joe, he takes care of the floor when I'm gone. And, you know, it just flows right in and on and on. And we got 16 to 18 segments up now, and just YouTube, but man, Wrestling Live from BWC, and catch up on what's happening. And Benny, our commissioner, man, he's got a big banner. He, you know, of course, he is sponsoring it. And Angel's Wrestling Wear, my lovely wife, she's been in business since 2001, making all the gears. I mean, she makes beautiful robes and trunks and yeah, long ties and robes and jackets and capes, and man, she can do any mask and you name it, she can do it all. And she's really got good at it. And I call it, she's downstairs right now. I call it in her sweat house. You know, like the kids over in China or something. You know, I'm kidding her. You know, yeah, get down there, girl. You know, crack that whip, man. But no, man. And she loved it. She loved to create. She's an artist, and hey, it's just a wonderful life here, brother. And it's good, man. Just be positive and just keep cooking. And the kids keep me young, you know. If I was in an old folks home there, you know, you're around old folks all the time, and hey, you're gonna be old, brother. You know, but I'm around these young kids, and hey, brother, hey, I'm right with them, man. I don't think I'm 80. You know, I can't do stuff that I used to, but it don't matter, brother, man. Hey, I think young, you know, and I still young, you know.
Man, it all young goes down in Shawlsville, Virginia.
You bet, brother. Yes, man. Yeah, just check it out, man. Jimmy Valiant at Outlook.com, or check out Jimmy Valiant at .weebly.com, brother, and he'll tell you all about it. Or just Google Jimmy Valiant. That's all you got to do. Just put Jimmy Valiant, brother, and all that stuff will come up, you know. And even your show will come up now, brother, man, because it's documented, man. You know, I've been on this great show of yours, you know, Wrestling Talk, baby, with Mayor McCall, you know, and with Willie B, baby. And just like, you know, he'll also Benny Scalus, Dan and Benny in the ring, you know, that way. Anything I do, it will show up somewhere there on that internet. That internet just blows me away. You know, we've been talking back and forth a little, and we'll be talking more now, brother. You're part of my life now. I'm telling you, Mayor McCall. But you know, anything anybody gets like you get, I'm not on their type. I can't even turn the computer on. But luckily, my wife does, because we need that for our wrestling business, for her wrestling, for Angel's Wrestling Wear, for BWC, and to just talk to our kids and talk to whoever, fans. Hey, if you email me, brother, or Facebook me or whatever, I got just Facebook Jimmy Valiant, you know, join us and boom, boom, whatever. But hey, when you get a message back, it's from me, because she's typing. And, you know, she's my little secretary, lovely wife, man, and she does it, but I'm saying what I want to say. So anything you get is from me. If I'm on the road, you know, that Saturday, and she'll tell you, she says, hey, Boogie's on the road, but, hey, we'll get back with you, and I do. And she reads it to me, and boom, hey, and I answer everybody, man. So this is how I am, brother, old school, but I'm all business, man.
That's why you're so loved, Jimbo. I tell you what, before we jump into some Memphis stuff, you had mentioned the Grand Wizard, so I want to backtrack just a minute and tell everybody that listening that doesn't know, Gorgeous George is credited as the first wrestler to use entrance music, to use theme music. You wasn't the first, but you were one of the first, and I believe that happened while you were the Grand Wizard, correct?
Exactly, yes, sir, man. I was out in WWF, they came in. I came in as a crowd pleaser from Dallas, Texas. Fritz von Erich gave me the name Handsome Jimmy Valiant, and I was at that time Jimmy the Body Valen, and I came in his territory, and Johnny Valentine was there, and he was the big star, and I haven't got my break yet, and big break, and I was in the middle, and he said, that's too close to Jimmy Valen, is too close to Johnny Valentine, and he looked at me, and he says, your name is, just fast, man, Handsome Jimmy Valiant, the first day that he seen me and met me, and I came in from Oklahoma, you know, Bill Watson and Leroy McGurk, and they sent me in, they asked for me, you know, the word got out, I was there, and they kept us moving, you know. Brother, we had to move every 6 months at least, you know. My daughter, time she was in eighth grade, she was in 15 different schools, and that's how many times we moved, you know, until I built a home there in Lansing, Illinois for them, and then I went on the road. What was the question there, Mayor?
Well, you know, I was talking about how, you know, Gorgeous George was the first, you know, to come out with theme or interest music or something like that, and you're one of the first. So how did that actually go down?
Yes. Then when I turned on Strongbow, they teamed me up with Strongbow, and I turned on them, and of course he was right next to the world champion and Bruno Sammartino. But then in that time, the period there, just before they switched the belt, and the world champion was Morales, Pedro Morales. So I got over on Strongbow and as a heel, and then of course I had my shots with Morales, and then back to Strongbow. But the thing was, then they teamed me up with Beautiful Bobby, Bobby.
Not Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, Bobby Harmon. Bobby Harmon and the original Beautiful Bobby. So it was Handsome Jimmy and Beautiful Bobby, managed by the Grand Wizard. Well, the Wizard remembered that, see, from TV. And he only came out to that a few times on TV, never in an arena. And we were the first to come to out to music in Madison Square Garden, brother. And this was the early 70s. And I remembered that. And then when I went into the late 70s to Memphis, Jimmy Hart.
1977, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. A couple weeks before the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, passed. God bless him. Loved him. Still love him, baby. You know, and of course, always will. And just before he died, it was early August of 77, and he died, I think, the 17th or 8th, whatever, of August. I know it's a big day in Memphis, man, that day for people around the world and Sun Studio and all that. And I got a record there at Sun Studio, in fact, you know, and right where they're stood. I stood there where Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis, baby, man, everybody stood and had the same microphone and same, you know, the cutting, the bench, you know, everything was there doing the same thing, brother, as they did on our record. Jimmy Hart was the brain storm behind this, and
that evil Jimmy Hart
song. Yes, sir, evil Jimmy Hart, man, and he did the music, and we made the Son of a Gypsy, and it was hot, man. It's still hot. It could be hot today because it's rock and roll, brother. So I started coming out to that music, and that was the first. And I remembered that. And then I wouldn't stay long. I'd move on and all that. Of course, in '80, I stayed almost that 1 year, 9 months or so, when Lawler got his leg broke. But
man, you were burning it up on FM 100, the local radio station, with Son of a Gypsy. You also had the Ballad of Handsome Jimmy. I mean, I remember you having FM 100 on your trunks. I think it was some sort of cross-promotional deal. But, man, so many people, when they knew I were going to interview you, man, you better talk about Son of a Gypsy. You better talk about, you know, him having, you know, an album on FM 100 and everything. People think that is so cool still to this day, brother.
You bet. You know, I was on so many times, you know, and they actually bought me that a jacket, and it said FM 100 means music, and then they paid for tights, and I told them where to get the tights. K&A's Carl and Hildegard at that time in Ohio, where all the boys got their stuff, and they got me a pair of tights made with music notes down, and then a pair of trunks to go over the long tights, and it said FM 100 on it, I wore their logo, they were so good to me there, and I did all their shows, brother man, and one of their disc jockeys he had a show, and he ended it for as long as he was there, he would always end his show at night. He'd say, good night, Handsome Jimmy, wherever you are, you know, and it was pretty cool, yeah, but it was, I just love Memphis, man, you know. I was born in Tullahoma, Tennessee. People don't know this, man, I'm a Tennessee boy, and when I first went in, brother man, you know, I came in from WWA, Dick the Bruiser, in Annapolis territory, you know, and they just called me in for one day, and that's when Lawler was going to, quit wrestling and start music with Hart and all this. So they just brought, they flew in Bobo Brazil and Jack Briscoe and myself and Mr. Wrestling. So many guys that, four or five guys Swayze, I think, came in, and then there, of course, the regular territory, you know, superstar Billy Dundee, man, God bless him, I love him.
Y'all have held many tag team gold together.
Oh, we did, brother. I love him, brother. God bless him, and I heard he's doing good and well. Last time I seen him, man, we're all getting up there, brother. You know, hey, people, if you see Will, if you see me, okay, come up, brother, man, and give us a hug, man. Hey, we love you, man. We talk to you, brother, man. Hey, bring me a biscuit, brother. Hey, I'm just old country boy. So I was born, you know, all my people's right there in Tullahoma, man, you know, Winchester Springs, Tennessee, you know, halfway between Knoxville and Nashville, brother. You know, get off 24 down the, just right down the road, brother. You're in real close to Lynchburg, Tennessee, where, you know, the good whiskey is made, you know, the only brewer in the world, and they're so big, you know. But the thing is that I sent an interview in, man, and I'm knocking all the hillbillies, Tennessee, you know, wick raising kids, tobacco chewing.
All them rednecks.
I knocked y'all, man, because, you know, I'm the boy from New York City, and, you know, I'm just trying to do my job, brother, get that heat, man, and I smoked the interview out to go in just for that one night, brother. That was just for one night, man, and I got in there with Dundee, and he was right next to Lawler. He was number two. He was the hottest thing Memphis had, you know, they just shaved his head, shaved his old lady's head, man, and so Lawler did everything in wrestling, and he was going to, you know, just beat everybody. So now he's going to just put this belt up for this round robin thing. And so they brought in four or five stars from different territories and just to do that. And brother, I worked with Dundee, first match, and early match, you know, there were so many matches, all 10-minute time limits, until the last match was for the belt was an hour time limit. But whenever I worked with that, early in the show, and we went through a 10-minute Broadway, so then Baldini, I called him, but Paul Morton flipped the coin, and whoever won the toss, you know, Lawler called it in the air, and they looked, and it was wrong or whatever, and I won anyway. They put my hand in the air to get Willie out of the way. You know, you ain't gonna hurt the number two. He's the hottest man there because Lawler's leaving, and then I went on. Well, brother, they just ate me up, man. Memphis, we tore that house down, brother, and never, you know, been there in my life. But I looked across to them. They said, this guy's the hottest thing we got, you know. And I didn't know Bill Dundee. He didn't know me, you know. We just know each other from magazines. And we didn't have that cable thing, you know. The magazines did it all.
You didn't have the internet, the dirt sheets, all that hoopla.
Exactly, brother. Yes, sir. You know, boy, you're so, you know, you're with it, man. You're knowledgeable.
Back when kayfabe was alive.
You bet. Oh God, we protected it like we did with our family, brother.
It was
family, you know.
It's so funny you mentioned biscuits or whatever, because Dave Brown would tell the audience that you were just coming to the South from New York City to see Grandma Valiant for some fried chicken, biscuits, and gravy.
That's right, baby. Oh yeah, you bet, man. Hey, you know, Dave Brown, God bless him, and hey, I just seen him, you know, last time I was around, and he's looking good, retired, driving the Corvette, baby. You know, he's going around, he's enjoying his life, and which he should, just like Lawler is, and yeah, you know, he got the Batmobile. Hey, you can get what you want, man, and enjoy your life. It's time, but getting back real fast to this, so I'm knocking all these Tennessee people, and they don't know, brother, all my people from there. And hey, I'm Southern Fred, Southern, you know, and when I die, I'll be Southern dead, baby, you know. I mean, brother, hey, I'm there, you know, I'm a Southern boy. And we moved up, you know, in the 43, I was born 42, we moved up in 43 because my dad tried to join the Army, you know, after Pearl Harbor hit or whatever the deal, and they asked him, his name was Jim, and he says, Jim, how many children you got home? He says, I got five. He says, you go home. You go, that's where you need to be. And we came off a farm, and I had four sisters. I was a baby. I got four older sisters, and I'm just 1 year old, and we all moved up north so as he could get a job at Ford Motor, and he couldn't read or write. He just had a third grade education because they took him off a farm. They come from big families. There was 10 in his family. There was 12 in my mother's family, all Tennessee people, man, and you know, the best people in the world. But what I'm trying to tell you, Mayor, real fast, is I was raised up in Hammond, Indiana, far north as you can, right on Lake Michigan. 30 minutes, you can be downtown Lupin, Chicago, baby, and you know how tough that place is. So Hammond was a tough place, and that's why I was raised. I was up there with
you. He was raised by a gypsy. Man.
Raised by a gypsy, baby, you bet, man. but the thing was, I was raised three times a day on cornbread and biscuits, and that's the gospel, because hey, we're Southern people, baby. Yeah,
man, we're representing the South down here. That's great. You know, back to what we're saying too. I was born in 1981. So you know, my ringside seat came a little bit later than when you kicked everything off, but. You know, looking at everything, and according to my research, it's almost like you were a Stone Cold in a way before Stone Cold. And what I mean by that is, you were such a heel, the people liked you, they cheered you on. And I think sometimes that's why you had to be an attraction, because it didn't work. You know, you're there like to pose as a heel, to oppose Lawler and such, though, and you're getting over, and you wasn't supposed to get over like you did.
Exactly, it happened, brother, man, and it's certain charisma. That people start liking you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't care what you do, who they feed you, what program you're in. No, when they start cheering and they're talking about you the other way, and they just love you. And you know, I'm a people person, you know. And before, I'm real cocky, and I'm just like looking right over their head, and so many pictures you see me, you know, posing with my hands on my hips, and I'm sort of got my head cocked, and I'm looking up in the air, you know, like, oh, I'm better than all everybody, man.
I'm from New York City.
My hair. Yeah, baby, New York boy, man. Yeah, baby, the big light, man. The big
do why,
brother.
do why, diddy.
Yeah, boy from New York City. And so you're right, you know, and because I got where I pulled hair and stuff, and the referee said, you pull. I said, no, baby, I didn't. And I just scoped my head, asked the people, and they said, no, he didn't pull hair. You know, so they had no choice, you know, and I was the character, and that's what happened when they switched me over to the Boogie Woogie Man, and I couldn't do no wrong. I never changed my style. I was just a brawler, and I'll tell you something. You got to get something from someone always, you know, and of course you develop your own thing too, you know, which me and Johnny did so many different things that we invented ourselves, and then other people came behind us, used it, but just like I was a character. Dick the Bruiser was like that in Annapolis. That's where I got that, man. You know, I didn't change my style, you know, and he just loved, he was the hottest heel in the country, brother, in the 50s, 60s, and then they just started feeding him the heels, and it was all over then, man. And him and Crusher was so strong, you know, characters, you know, and that's how the Boogie Woogie did when they reinvented me there in the 80s. In 81, but the thing is that brother, you can do no wrong, no matter what, so they got to go with it, you know, it's business, and they see it, and it's good for the office, and of course, you know, good for you, good for the fans, and I was a people person anyway, but I couldn't show it. I could never show it, Mayor McCall. I couldn't because, you know, I love people. I love to hug them, man. Hey, I kiss them, brother. I dance with them. Hey, man, you know, it's just, I love to talk to the fans. If it wasn't for the fans, brother, you know, hey, I raised three families on this great business, you know, and it's just a blessing, you know. I give all the credit to them, them fans, you know, the wrestling fans. And I couldn't visit with them like I wanted to, but it was in my heart. But I had to ignore them, couldn't sign autographs. And, it was tough, brother. Hey, we got so much heat. I had to hide my car. I never had a car that wasn't keyed. They'd cut your tires. they would throw bricks through your window. I'm telling you, you know, it was serious. I got cut, man. Hey, they'd throw coffee on me, trying to burn me with cigarettes. They used to smoke in all the places then, back in the 60s, you know, and 70s. And this is just getting to the ring, brother. We had the fight coming back, you know, with the police, and it was serious stuff. And I couldn't have my family. I had three little girls, my first marriage, you know, you wouldn't be associated. I couldn't go to their school functions. I couldn't go to church with them. I couldn't be. I didn't even want them to be seen with them, you know, because I didn't want them to get kidded or. You know, I didn't want nothing there, you know, because it was a serious business. Not like now. Not like now, you know, they like the bad guys. Yay, they like the good guys. Yay, they like, you know, it's a different, complete different thing now, you know. But, brother, when we were going there at the beginning, it was a very close-knit family thing. Hey, it was almost impossible to get into this thing. Someone had to take you under their wing. There was no schools like there is, you know, like I have here now for 33 years.
Like the BWC started in 1992.
There you go, baby. Yes, sir. September 92 and first graduating class. I got banners of every year. We just gave Benny an honorary degree last year, brother, man. I'd be honored to give you one, brother. You tell me, you know, if you would love it. Hey, brother, I'd love to give you an honorary degree, you know, of BWC and have your name on the banner.
Absolutely. What an honor.
Oh, brother, you got it. You got it, brother, man. And I'm going to put you down. John, is that right? Can I say that? John McCall, right?
Yes, sir. John McCall. That's me.
Okay. And that's what's going to be on the banner. I got Benny Scala's name right there last year, but you're going to be on this banner this year, and is October, of course, the commission will be there, and if you can come up, great. If you can't, it's cool too, brother, but I'm honoring you. It's going to be hanging right now. You'll be the 32nd banner hanging. On the rafters, and it's the big banners, and I got Dick the Bruiser, of course, Vern Gagne. I got people that's so good. King Fish is on there, brother. Of course, you know, Lawler, Steamboat, Wahoo, Piper, Andre the Giant. I got people that are so close to me. I give honorary degrees out annually, of course, and my students that deserved it, and you deserve it. They all deserved it, but that worked so hard for it. You're in their class, but you honorary degree. Just like Shaq, he's got an honorary degree from all the police stations across the country. Man, you know, he's got so many badges and so many cards, and you know, and colleges. You know, this is a college. You know, that they got to come. A year here, brother, and hey, they put in their sweat, tears, and they work hard, brother. Here, blood, brother, man, and to earn this. And but I do give a handful of honorary degrees, and John, you're going to be on the class of it's going to say class of BWC class of 19 or 20 23. Your name's going to be on there, brother John McCall, and it'll be there forever. And if you come, you get a nice certificate you can frame for your office, like Benny has, and Benny will tell you all about it, brother. He's got it right there in his office, and of course, he's our commissioner, the Big M, Brian Powell. Of course, he's an honorary degree. Anybody close that really is in our business that helps BWC and is out there, promoting professional wrestling, man. The only thing I've ever done in my life, man, and I just want to continue just being the goodwill ambassador. Like you are, brother, and your great show, Wrestling Talk, brother, it's just fabulous, man. That I'm honored to do that for you.
I'm truly speechless, Jimmy, and I don't know what to say. And that's the greatest birthday gift that could ever be bestowed upon me. And I try so hard to be good at this. I try so hard to respect the business, to respect the guests that come on this show, and what an honor. And I'm going to do everything I can to come there in person. Believe it or not, I was actually Googling the directions from my house there the other day, because I know you have things going on Sunday, and I would love to be a part of that. So it would be my special honor to come there in October, Handsome Jimbo.
Okay, it's the first Sunday in October, and I'll give you the date exactly right now. I'm got my calendar here. October. August. We have our birthday bash, and the first Sunday, and it's Angel and my birthday. I'll be 81, and Miss Angel, there's 15 years difference in our age, you know, and we celebrate. Hers is August 11th, mine's August 6th, and it'll be actually Sunday, August 6th is the birthday bash, but we celebrate mine and Angel, and I tell everybody there's 15 years difference. And last year I said, I'm 80 today, you know, and let me see, Angel was 15, Angel's 95, but yeah, I just shouldn't, but it's the other way around. God bless her, she's a beautiful lady. We're going October, the first Sunday is October 1st, and it's our you'll be on the banner, my man, and I, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to put John McCall down for, I already got a list started as, of course, with my, you'll be inductee with my students.
Man, what an honor. Thank you so much. And I'm truly honored. I really am. I don't know what to say. Well, getting back to it, because I know I don't have y'all night, so I still want to cover a couple more things. Man, the Memphis territory, it was known for some crazy gimmicks. The hair versus hair, the loser leaves town. You know, there was fire chains, rags of ether. What are some of your, what are some of your most memorable feuds, in Memphis? You know, some of the hotbeds.
The hottest thing had to be when Lawler burnt me, we did everything we could there. When I got in, brother man, and then finally, brother, he threw fire on me and burnt my eye, and I told him, I said, hey, man, I'm healing up. I says, hey, you know, Lawler, you're mine. You know, as soon as I heal up, brother, I'm coming and get you. And I says, I told him, I says, if I see you walking down the street, I'll run you over with my car. I says, if I see you in a restaurant, I'll stab you with a fork, man. I says, hey, you're dead, man. I told him, and it was serious, man. And he had a shot with the following week. He had a shot with the world champion, you know, and the NWA world champion in Harley Race, and they went an hour Broadway, hour through. And then the next week they came back, him and Harley, for a 90-minute match, and I wasn't on the card, you know. Of course, I'm healing up, but I flew in myself, and I took a cab right there to the Coliseum. Everybody's inside, and Lawler's having his match. I came in late, no one seen me, and I told the cab driver, man, I gave him money, brother. I says, don't move, brother. Don't keep the meter running. I said, I'll be right back, right here. And he was right by the gate. And I said, I'm telling you, brother, don't move, my man. You know, keep the motor running, and I'm going in, and I'm gonna, you know, do my deal, brother. And I'll be right back. And I went in, and brother, and waited for the right time. And instead of coming down the bad side, I ran down the good side, and so no one would be expecting. They didn't know. I wasn't on the card, so they weren't expecting me, but nobody to run in. You know, they always look up the other aisle where the bad guys come, where the police protection is and all that. And brother, I came down the good man's side, and I just grabbed the bottle out of the garbage can right there by that entrance there, and I came in with that big bottle, and I man, got in and cracked Lawler. He had him pinned, 1-2, and I came down with that bottle, and it just, man, the bottle exploded. There was glass everywhere, you know. I picked up the neck of it, you know, and Lawler's bleeding, his head bleeding, my hand's bleeding, man. I hit him so hard with that sucker, and then I took the neck of it, the bottle I grabbed, and I went across his chest and cut his arm there, and boom, and brother. Of course, here they come. Everybody's throwing cheers, and then here comes Big Red, and here comes, you know, Mr. Kohi. I call him Mr. Coffee, and here comes Eddie Marlin.
Guy Coffee.
Yeah, Guy Coffee, Mr. Kohi, I call him, and here comes everybody, the security, the police, and they are coming. And brother, I'm fighting all these guys, and then here comes the fans over the barriers, and they're coming in, and it's just, man, I escaped just with my life, and Lawler's laid out, brother, and they turned all the lights on. Nobody moved. Oh, nobody. Everybody's crying. The girls are chewing their fingernails, and they're whimpering, and they didn't know what, and they got dead silence, man. I was gone. Luckily, I was in the cab. I'm on my way back to fly out to the airport. And I just escaped with my life. I'm telling you, I don't know how. I know some of the Dundee, and they chased me back, and they were right on my heels, and I right out the door, man, and man jumped in the cab. Go, man, go! And we got out of there before anybody was out of the building. They stayed there. Everybody, no one left. And then the ambulance came, and the ambulance backed in, and all the lights are on in the Coliseum, backed in there, and they took the. And of course they filmed, and they had glass everywhere, and even the world champion tried to save Lawler, and I punched him and, man, knocked him down, you know, and I was just fighting for my life to get out of there after I cut him, then they took him to the hospital, get sewed up, and the next Saturday, this is what kicked it, and they don't. We didn't do stuff like this on the live TV there in Memphis, you know. But they zoomed in on the stitches on his chest, on his head, on his arms, and you could actually see the catgut, the sewed up you know, because your arm up here on your shoulder there, it heals different than your head.
Right.
It just was laid wide open in his chest, and they showed the stitches in that, and brother then, you know, of course I had death threats on my life, the police wanted to do charges on me, you know, the vicious wounding or whatever that thing was, I'm hearing all this, and they wanted to suspend me, but they knew this was going to be box office, brother. So they're not going to do nothing except book this sucker. And they had to sneak me in. And I'll tell you the story, brother. It's in my book, which I sold out two different printings of. Message daddy, boogie woogie man. You know, yeah, the life of Jimmy Valiant, man. You know, but the thing is, they did that. Mayor I told the story that. Buddy Wayne, which was an old-time wrestler, and he was now one of the bookers, and he was a promoter for a few of the towns there for Jarrett,
Ken Wayne?
Yes, okay. yes, sir. Ken Wayne, one of the Nightmares, him and Danny Davis.
Him and Danny Davis, correct. And
you bet, brother. And so Buddy would get me, I'd fly in, man, and he would lay me down. He had a big Cadillac, new Cadillac. I lay down in the back seat, and he covered me. He was in the Army, man. He had an old Army blanket. I'd cover me up, Handsome Jimmy, and he would pull in the gate. You know, back in the Memphis Coliseum, there's a gate, the guard shack. Well, all the boys could park in there. Well, here, you know, everybody knows Buddy, and everybody liked him. He's an old-time wrestler, promoter, and he worked for the office, and so he would come in and just wave at all the fans. I'm in the back, brother, covered up, man, on, you know, laying down, and they're all, there's a couple hundred people that are wondering how I'm getting in every week, because they're there early, and he gets in, and they raise the door, and he parked all the way inside. So I park inside, and now it's early. I get out, man, boom, boom, and no one sees me until we go to the ring, I had protection around me, brother. That it was unreal, because they were after me, and that was the hottest thing ever, that angle. And we went on with that. And then as soon as I got done, I'd get back in there. They'd cover me up, and he'd take me back to the airport. And we're driving through the people, and he's waving to everybody, and you know, and they're still looking for me. Well, how's he leaving? They didn't know how I was getting in and out, but that's a little secret. That's how that happened.
speaking of the Mid-South Coliseum, give a shout out to my buddy Will Dern. I actually own a piece of history. Actually, when I do the podcast, Jimmy, I sit in a chair from the Mid-South Coliseum. And I just want to say one thing too. The mayor's not a small guy. I'm a big guy, and this chair holds me up just fine. I cannot imagine getting hit with one of these things. Seriously.
Oh, you bet. Oh, you
man.
Bet, you know. Brother, yeah, we did it all. You're right. They have so many gimmick matches, you know. I've been tar and feathered, man. I came in one time with the crutches, and I said I sprung my leg. It fractured it. I got to get the cast on, man. I'm going right to the hospital now, and I can't rest. I was supposed to have a hair match with Lawler, he turned his back on me in the ring three or four times because I come to the ring dressed in my, and I wasn't even, I was just in my street clothes and attire, but I'm on crutches, and I had plenty of times to hit him if I was going to do it. Everybody said, well, maybe he is hurt. I don't know. And then finally I took the vantage, boy. I did the boogie woogie. I danced, boy, and I hit him with the crutch, and the crutch busted and it flew in the crowd, man. Lucky it didn't hurt someone. It just cracked in half. And then I went and grabbed had scissors in my pocket, and I started cutting Lawler's head. And then Dundee came in, and everybody, and Lawler's bleeding, and you know, they carried him out, and we thought this would make him happy, because we got to have a match. So I says, well, you know, I started to leave, and he said, and Dundee said, hey, Handsome, Yeah, these people came to see a hair match. We're going to have one, and so we thought we would satisfy them instead of taking Lawler's hair. I cut some of Lawler's hair, but not enough. And then, so me and Dundee went hair for hair, and we did the same thing with him. And, you know, I got over on him, and I started shaving his head and not all the way. And then, you know, here comes another Smosh came, and I had to get out of there. Anyway, the people were so hot at me and everything that they wouldn't leave. And then they started burning the seats. They broke the windows out.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. It was unbelievable. Jerry Jarrett, he had to pay thousands of dollars to repair the Coliseum. And that was another hot, you're talking about hot angles. That was another hot angle, you know. And another hot angle was John Bunch there. He was a sponsor there of Handsome Jimmy, and Jimmy Hart hooked me up with him. And he went over to Overton Square there, you know, and they put a candy store there, and they called it Handsome Jimmy Sweet Tooth, and I guess the office didn't like that too well, because the night just before the grand opening, they switched me heel on Tommy Rich, and that's when that angle, I don't know if you ever seen it, me and Tojo, and Tommy was a heel, we switched him a good guy because he came out and he had a nice white silk shirt on, and he was just soaked with blood. We're beating the daylight out, and it just so happened his mother was in the audience, came in to visit him, and oh, don't, that's my son, and we knocked her down, and oh my goodness, brother, here it comes. And that night the people were so hot from that angle, you know, and you know, pushing his mom down. These are angles, brother. This is how we drew money, man. And hey, check all. This is all documented, guys. Check that Tommy Rich and pushing Tojo and Handsome Jimmy pushing, you know, knocking Tommy's mother down. You'll see this whole angle. Unbelievable. And so that night, hey, needless to say, they pushed the sign over, brand new sign, broke the sign. Two rocks through the candy store, and so that didn't happen. Another one was when a real hot angle there. I got so many G's in my head there. Memphis was so hot and so good to me. I just loved Memphis, man. And then another one was with Birdman, but they didn't call him that. He just came out of high school, man, and a good football player in Union, Tennessee.
Oh, Coco Beware.
Coco, baby, and he was just a young kid, just a teen, 19 years old, and we made that kid, brother, and we had a match for a TV, a battle royal for a TV, and this is all documented. Check this one out. You know, just Google that Boogie's. Handsome Jimmy's breaks Coco's TV. You know, after the battle royal. Anyway, battle royal and I beaten everybody, and ended up me and Coco, and I forget how it happened, but I threw him over. I don't know if he caught the rope, didn't hit the floor, and maybe he did a slingshot back. I don't know what happened. Anyway, he dumps me over, and he went to TV, and he was so, and I was so mad. You know, I was just crazy, man. And then he came out, and they presented him with the TV, and I came out, brother, and knocked him down and broke the TV. I said, here, watch this, you sucker, man. And I just slammed it on the floor and broke the screen. Big TV, brand new. And I took Coco, ran him into the post, man. And, oh, he just flew. And that was a hot. So many hot things. I could go on. Me and the bird dog, I call him, was the Steve Regal, not the one from England. This is the one from now. He married Wilbur Snyder, which was Bruiser's partner in there in Indianapolis. They own the territory, and he married his sister, his daughter, their daughter Cindy, and he was my tag team partner against Schultz and Condry, and they were going. We were tag teaming up against them, and we had a big cake. It was a birthday bash. Like, happy birthday, Mayor! It was a big birthday bash. Thing, you
thank
know,
you, Jimmy.
For one of them, and we came out, man, oh man, had a big food fight, man, and we just had it all over us, and we're slipping and sliding, man, and it was so many great angles, brother, man, you know, but you're right, Memphis was the first man to do stuff like that, yeah, first ladder match, first everything, brother, first 50 man battle royal, man, they had 50 men, and the ring collapsed. The ring didn't hold 50 guys. You know, that was 10,000 pounds. If you take 50 guys that just average 200 pounds, and, you know, we had big guys, little guys there, 50 guys, and it collapsed in the ring.
So they didn't equate for all that weight?
Yeah, exactly. And we just kept fighting, and it was good. You know, the people loved it. But then the next week was in, of course, the Tuesday. Every Tuesday we went to Louisville, Gardens, and then we'd go to Evansville on Wednesday, and then Lexington Thursdays, and, you know, big clubs, and we had that everywhere, and they reinforced, they made a new one, and it's stronger, and the second one held up, but it was a sellout all the way, baby.
If I'm not mistaken, Louisville Gardens off of Muhammad Ali Drive.
You bet, brother, you bet, and every major star in the world, just like Madison Square Garden, man, you know, and Cow Palace, and San Francisco, and the Philadelphia Spectrum, and all these big arenas that Elvis, whoever is the hottest thing in their profession, they appeared in these big, including the Memphis
Coliseum. It's so funny you brought this up, because that actually transitions into my next question for you. I've learned in the research, talking to my good buddy Randy Hales, that the Coliseum is a sellout at 11-8. So Coliseum sells out at 11-8. You've performed there. You've performed at Madison Square Garden that has a capacity of about 20,000. What I want to know is, in the heyday, could the Coliseum pop just as loud as a 20,000-seat Madison Square Garden? Because I think it could.
Oh, you bet. Oh, my goodness. You bet forever, man. They were the best fans there is, man.
I've heard of ceiling tiles coming off the Mid-South Coliseum. Is that true?
It is. It is. It rocked. It rocked, brother. And you know, to put all this in respect to Randy Hales, and what a great promoter when he had when he was in charge, you know, Power Pro, and I came in with him, and I just love Randy. Yeah, hello, Randy, brother, man. God bless you. I love you. I know, he's in my heart, man. I just love this kid. I knew him since a teenager, you know, and he started putting posters out in Jonesboro, and that's how he got into the business, you know.
I want to give, if I can, Jimmy, I want to give Randy a special shout out. Randy has had some very, very kind words for me. Randy was actually our previous guest, and Randy said that it was the second best podcast that he's ever done. So, Randy, thank you for those kind words, and thank you for, you know, giving us a chance and believing us, you know. And the Mayor and Handsome Jimmy, Mercy Daddy, we love you, brother.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You bet. You too. And stay with him, you know. And yeah, brother. Yeah. He is a part of that history. And I couldn't say enough about Randy. And you name anybody there, brother. Yeah, I ain't got a bad word to say about anybody. I never have in my autobiography. You know, I talked about. I said I can tell dirt on everybody in the professional wrestling in the last 50 years, you know, and I says, I'm not like that. I don't do it. I says, but I'm going to tell dirt on myself. I'm going to tell dirty dirt on myself. You know, brother, hey, I did steroids. I did cocaine 10 years, 7 days a week, brother. I tell the kids this for one reason, is that do this, don't do this, don't do that. You know, you know, I'm trying to teach them, don't do what I did. It's bad. Don't never do this, you know. That's why I'm telling the dirt on myself, because if I can just help one child, one man, woman, one any human being by my influence, you know, by reading this book or by just talking to them or listening to, you know, wrestling talk, you know, with the Mayor McCall. If you can, if I can help anybody listening out there right this second, you know, to you know, just live clean, man, and, you know, love Jesus, man, and don't,
amen.
You know, don't do the Ten Commandments, man. Just read the Ten Commandments. You follow it.
Thou shalt not do what the boogeyman did.
Exactly. Then my life, Mayor, and what I'm telling the people will not be in vain, you know, and what I wrote down in my book, if they read it, it won't be in vain. You know, the book's gone. I have no more. And then someone said that there was one on the, someone selling one, you know, it was $300-$400, man, you know, on the internet thing, you know, but hey, I have no more. We did two printings, and now I got a blueprint of how to become a professional wrestling. I came out with that now, but it's just a blueprint, you know, a book that way. Yeah.
Well, brother, I won't keep you all night. I want to talk to you about one more angle before we wrap it up or whatever. One of my personal favorites that I, you know, when I was growing up that I got to witness, you and Lawler, May of 1990. Y'all just had, it was the Monday night before Mother's Day. You and Lawler had a stretcher match at the Mid-South Coliseum, and man, was that a wild match. You got Ronnie P. Gossett flying around. You got Jerry Calhoun getting knocked around. The match ended when Lawler got a hold of a rag of ether and, you know, put it in your face, and you couldn't answer the count, so you got, you know, stretchered out of there. So it was some, you know, cheap heat for Lawler and everything, with assistance of, you know, Ronnie P. Gossett sticking his nose in his business where it didn't belong. So that Saturday, Lawler comes out on TV, and he cuts one of my favorite videos of all time. He tells Dave Brown in the audience, he said, "Dave, you know, I've searched long and hard. I found Jimmy Valiant's mother." So they take the camera crew out. They go out to this house that actually has Condemned on the front of the house. It's just a rotten, fallen down, decrepit house. It actually says Condemned on it. And lo and behold, your mother's not there. Well, supposedly your mother. She's at the laundromat three miles down the road washing your clothes. She'd walk 3 miles with the clothes. So, you know, Lawler goes down there and he's talking to her. And, you know, he's like, you know, Jimmy bought you that house. She's like, yeah. So Jimmy doesn't have you a car. No, I don't mind walking 3 miles to wash his car. And I mean, excuse me, wash his clothes and all like that. Oh. So Lawler wraps up the video and all, and all of a sudden, like, you hit the studio and you just start wailing on Lawler. You take him out. Then you actually cut, like, a very, very heartfelt promo. As the day before Mother's Day, you're like, you know what, Lawler? That's not my mother, but that's somebody's mother. And then, you know, you do your thing on that. And I love that angle, man. I really did.
Man, you brought it back to me. And I remember, but I don't remember so many, you know, because... so many years I've had like 12,000 matches, you know. I've drove who knows how many millions of miles, 5 million miles on U.S. highways, and who knows how many miles I've flown. And but oh my goodness, brother, whoa, I could see I but what a deal, you know. Also, man, I want to give a shout out to our kid that came through BWC, you know, and he's on top of the world, brother, man.
Hangman Adam Page.
Adam Page, brother, man. Yeah, he graduated from us, and you know, the kid could work the day he walked in that ring, man. And I said, oh man, just, and he had it all. You got to have the total package, you know, brother. And he has, he's good looking. He can talk. He's got a good body, and his attitude, and oh my goodness, and his athletic ability, and his, you know, he's a charisma and everything. He's got it all. And I told Angel, I said, this kid is, he can't miss. And look at him, he's on top of the world now. And we're just so proud of him, you know. And brother, he's just the best, you know. And He keeps in touch with me, you know. His dad, you know, Steve, I talked to his father, man. And in fact, they're coming to Salem next the 13th, I think it is.
Awesome.
Of next month. Yeah, right here, right in our hometown. They're just going to sell it out with this kid, man. We're just so proud of him, man. See, I'm just proud of every person that's on that banner. I'm so proud of, in fact, I'll be looking up not only at Adam Page's name, you know, when he graduated, but I'm going to look up and I'm going to see John McCall on there, and just warm feeling, just like I look up and see, Benny, you know, Skella's name, the Brian Powell, and just everybody, Jerry Lawler, you know, you name it, brother, that Tommy Rich is on there, you know, people that are so close to me, you know, Austin Idol, all the big stars in Memphis, man, that ever came in and out, brother, man, it's just a blessing, brother, and thank you for doing this special birthday, honor me to be on there with you for your birthday bash, the mayor, you know, man, happy birthday, brother. I love you so much, and keep in touch with Benny, our commissioner, and also Brian Powell, you know, our webmaster. Keep in touch with them, if you need me again, just let me know, brother. I do Benny's show, Dan and Benny's in the ring every
Dan and Benny in the ring
every Christmas. Yeah, every Christmas we do. Boogie Claws, man. We do Boogie Claws, and so we do a big show there for Christmas time for everybody. But brother, you're on the banner. You're going to be honorary degree graduate this October the 2nd, and God bless you. Thank you. Happy birthday again for you, baby, man. I'm just so thrilled, and talk to all our people, especially right there in Mimfo, baby. Woo, my dad.
We got our brother from Mimfo. We got Handsome Jimbo from Mimfo in the house. And what a great, great, great way for me to spend my 42nd birthday. And I don't words can't express or convey, you know, the feelings I have. Jimmy, you're one of my favorite professional wrestlers of all times, and now you're one of my favorite human beings of all time. So thank you very, very much. And man, what a honor and pleasure. You know, it was hard for me to do this because hell, I'm over here trying to not mark out and do my job, you know. So, you know, thank you so much for this opportunity to get into, you know, doing the mayor's birthday bash with me.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, man. And you're a great man. And I'll tell you, keep up the good work, you're doing your life calling, man. I'm telling you, hey, Godspeed, brother.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Jimmy.